Thank you. The World Anti-Doping Agency has announced plans to help create a new anti-doping body in Kenya. This follows a report that the South African country, a long-time producer of champion distant runners, has no effective program to fight drug cheating. Also, the International Rugby Board said on Thursday it was taking seriously allegations against Kenya rugby after a government commissioned report into doping said banned steroids were found in supplements given to national rugby players. The Kenya Rugby Union has denied any wrongdoing in its Sevens team, which was implicated. The report recommended that Kenya Sevens head coach Paul Trey, a former Sevens World title winning coach with South Africa, and five members of his staff should face disciplinary proceedings. The agency announcement on a new Kenyan national anti-doping organization followed a meeting with Kenyan government officials in Cape Town, South Africa, on Wednesday. Anti-doping agencies from Norway and China will help Kenya set up the organization, according to a statement from the World Anti-Doping Agency. Kenya has been under close scrutiny since German broadcaster ARD alleged in 2012 that doping was common among the country's famous distance runners. Kenya has seen a spike in positive tests in recent years, with 18 athletes failing drug tests from January 2012 to December of last year, and that's according to the agency. That's a rate of nearly one a month. The agency pushed Kenya to investigate the ARD allegations, and the long-awaited report was made public last week. In FIFA's October rankings, Egypt has climbed 23 positions to 38 in FIFA monthly world rankings. Two recent victories over Botswana in the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers helped propel Egypt to number 6 in African rankings. Algeria tops the African ranking list, followed by Ivory Coast at number 15, Tunisia at number 31, Cape Verde Islands at number 33, and Ghana at 35. The Faroes made it into the world's top 10 after winning three successive Africa Cup of Nations trophies in 2006, 2008 and 2010. Meanwhile, in the CAF Champions League final, Algeria's Satif will take on DR Congo's Vita in the two-legged final. And for more on this and other soccer news on the continent, let's go to Johannesburg, South Africa and join football guru David Legg. Interesting matchup, David.
It all began way back in February. And Douglas, if you had at that stage said to me the final is going to be between V Club and Satif, I would have said, Douglas, I respectfully disagree. We had the usual suspects when it came to believing who would win that competition. They were Al Ahly of Egypt, Esperance of Tunisia, and TP Mazembe of DR Congo. But they've all fallen by the wayside at different stages. Ahly didn't even reach the group stage. Esperance went out of the group stage, and Mazembe went out at the semi-finals. And now we have two former winners, but I say former winners with capital F-O-R-M-E-R, because V-Club, you've got to go way back to 1973 for their lone success in the competition. That's 41 years ago. And Satif's only success came 26 years ago in 1988 when they won the title. But they've got there on merit. V-Club had a particularly difficult qualifying program. They had to beat Kano Pillars of Nigeria, Dynamos of Zimbabwe, and Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa. And then they've done very well in the group stage as well, only one defeat, and that was a narrow one away to Mazembe. Satif, same story in the qualifying. They overcame Cotton Spore of Cameroon, consistently one of the stronger teams in Africa. And then they upset Esperance and CS Faxien of Tunisia in the group stage. So they're both worthy finalists. Douglas, this one is hard to call. There's very little between these sides. But I must say I was very impressed with V Club in their semi-final against Faxien of Tunisia. They won 2-1 in Kinshasa. My belief was that was not going to be enough. They then went to Tunisia, fell behind early on, but had the resilience to come back and actually win 2-1 in Tunisia. And it's very rarely that you get an African club going to Tunisia and coming away with a victory. So perhaps they can be called slight favourites, but this one is really tight. And the key, of course, for Vita in the first leg at Kinshasa on Sunday is to score some goals, but not to concede any. This one is so tight, I could see it going to the away goal rule or even a penalty shootout. Douglas?
A good thing, David, the Vita is from DRC, because DRC clubs have a good record.
Yes, Mazembe, of course, four times winners of the competition. They won in 67 and 68, and again, much more recently in 2009 and 2010. But it's funny how all the pundits, myself included, got the semifinals wrong. We were convinced we were going to get this dream final between Mazembe and CS Sfaxien. And there's an interesting comparison between the two Congolese clubs, Mazembe and Vita. Mazembe represents basically the whole of Africa. They've got Ghanaians, they've got Malians, they've got Tanzanians, they've got Zambians. And often their starting lineup only includes three Congolese players. So it's often been called the AU, the African Union of African Football. On the other hand, V Club very much rely on the Congolese. They've got a few imports as well. Notably, the Ugandan, Eunice Sentamu, who scored a winning goal away to Sfaxien. He's a name to watch out for. He's developing very quickly, is Eunice Sentamu. He featured well for Uganda at the 2014 African Nations Championship in South Africa. But yes, the Congolese, Douglas, they've got a strong league. You've got Mazembe and you've got Vita consistently doing pretty well in African football. And the Algerians, it's been some time now since they've actually won the title. But, of course, the North African teams are consistently strong. You've got the Egyptians, Tunisians, Algerians, and the Moroccans regularly featuring in the closing stages of the CAF Champions League. Douglas?
Thanks, David. That's our classy African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. As he said, Vita hosts the first leg of the final on Sunday with a return match 1 week later. Apart from the prize money, the African champions qualify for the 2014 FIFA Club World Cup in Morocco. Still in Johannesburg, let's have Daybreak Africa's Mark Ouma with more sports news.
We begin with football. Nigeria's Super Falcons and Cameroon's indomitable Lionesses emerged victorious in keenly contested semifinals at the Telecom Namibia Mobile Africa Women's Championships at the Sam Nujoma Stadium in Katutura Township, Windhoek, Namibia, on Wednesday. In the first semifinal, Nigeria's Asisat Oshoala proved why she was voted FIFA Women's Under-20 World Cup Most Valuable Player when she scored a brace against South Africa's Banyana Banyana just before the interval. On resumption of play, Jane Rifilwe found the back of the net for Banyana Banyana. This spurred both teams to step up the tempo of play, producing excitement at both ends of the field before Kenyan referee Damaris Wangari blew the final whistle to end the match 2-1 in Nigeria's favour. Later on, the showdown between Cameroon's indomitable Lionesses and Ivory Coast's Lady Elephants was just as thrilling, with neither side finding the back of the net in the first half. Cameroon's 22-year-old striker Deborah Enganamoit put the indomitable Lionesses into the lead in the 60th minute. Ivory Coast's Tia Viho Ines leveled the score 7 minutes later. With the teams deadlocked at a goal each after 90 minutes, the match went into extra time. Cameroon's captain and central defender Christine Mani scored from a corner 2 minutes before Ethiopian referee Lydia Tafese's final whistle ended extra time. This ensured Cameroon squeezed past Ivory Coast 2-1. This is the second time Ivory Coast have qualified for the finals. Staying in Windhoek, by virtue of advancing to the finals, Nigeria's Super Falcons and Cameroon's Indomitable Lionesses qualify for the 2015 FIFA Women's World Cup in Canada. Fans can this time expect a pulsating bronze medal playoff. At stake is the third and final slot for Africa at the FIFA Women's World Cup. South Africa edged Ivory Coast 2-1 when they hosted them in a friendly in Moruleng in South Africa's Northwest Province last month. This time, fans can expect nothing friendly about the encounter. Finally, in cricket, Uganda tackled Nepal at the start of the Pepsi ICC World Cricket League Division 3 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, today, Thursday.
And that report by Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, brings us to the end of tonight's edition of the Sunnyside of Sports. I'm Douglas Impoga. Now back to you, Kim.
Okay, thank you, Douglas. And listen to the Sunnyside of Sports Monday through Friday at 16:31 UTC and 18:31 UTC. And on Fridays, Sunny has an expanded half-hour edition of the Sunnyside of Sports at 17:30 hours UTC, right here on the Voice of America.
Coming up, doctors learning more about Ebola so as to improve survival rates. And next, the laws regarding private ownership of mineral-rich land in Uganda. But first, some music. Here is Blue 3 of Uganda with Akayim Bakali.